know the place that your country occupies in the hearts of the French people, Paris, Marseille, Lyon, or elsewhere. Mention the name Armenian vibrates a chord in national sensitivity, because Armenia is not the name of a greater culture, civilization, whose roots go back centuries. The names of one of the great tragedies of history that resonates in the heart of humankind. For my fellow citizens, also, there are faces, those of the French Armenians, workers, artists, activists, entrepreneurs, sports people, resistance, doctors, who through their talent and energy contributed to building our country, who love with limitless passion France that opened its arms to them as they love eternally their homeland, and Armenia for France and all of Francophonie is also a voice that has disappeared, that plunges us in sadness and grief, the voice of a giant singer who expressed better than everyone our torments, the passage of time, singing our lightness with this melancholy that accompanied exile, our singular way of being in the world, the singer who represented Francophone culture throughout the world. We all knew he was Armenian. He defended your country and its memory. He had created an impulse of solidarity after the earthquake that struck you. He learned how we could love your singular independent people, to pay justice, to recognize the terrible genocide that it was a victim of. And that is the mark of a genius. Our countries will look at one another through the shared treasure that was Charles Aznavour. Prime Minister, Secretary General, today it is a family that is gathered at Yerevan, a family that is worldwide, stretching in Europe, Asia, Africa, America, Oceania, a family so diverse that it is a challenge to the imagination. All of us here, members of this family, we don't have the same color of skin. Our gods don't always have the same name, and some of us don't believe in heaven. The climates that we live under are so dissimilar that some only know a long summer and the other harsh, snow-filled winters. Our songs don't always resemble one another. Our narratives don't always have the same roots, but flow in the same direction. Between us, there have been many wounds which are barely beginning to heal thanks to the work of memory. The languages that we've heard from our childhood and in our streets are countless, as well as the living conditions of our people. But this family, so colorful, so vibrant, so sparkling, so diverse, it is united, united through a language that each of us, with our accents, our peculiarities, we bring life to in a plural way, but we understand ourselves perfectly. This language belongs to no single one of us, but is owned by all. It emancipated from its link of the French people to welcome Senghor, UNESCO, Charles Aznavour, Youssou N'Dour, Modiano, as well as Amin Malouf. United, our family is united, not just through this language constantly transformed but through a certain vision of the world, this vision that our common language, through our ceaseless exchanges, has contributed to forge, this vision that every day it reinvents because our linguistic community, like other language communities, is a living being that is constantly nurtured with new senses, new constructions, new experiences. United, our family is through its ideals, its hopes, its deepest aspirations, its aspirations to fraternity, peace, freedom, human dignity, and justice that are the very bedrock of our community. This summit today takes a very special turn, and you mentioned this a moment ago, President, Prime Minister, that of the course of the world, everywhere around us, we see the great transformations at play, and our international order that is upended by lies and a form of insidious falsification of every form of truth, upended by hate speech rising in all areas of the world, that is upended by the fracture in international order, where over the past decades we've continued to move forward, and that we've taken as established, that is also upended by challenges across continents of fundamental freedoms that we've always upheld, struggles for human equality, gender equality, on the values that are ours, upended because multilateralism is challenged in just about every continent. Our prime risk today is to accept by contributing, or to accept tacitly, think that these are just minor events, to accept that we are just sleepwalkers. What does Francophonie have to do with this? Not just to say words, even if words uphold the most essential struggles. What we must do, which is constantly to reinvent, is this open place, infinite, constantly to be reinvented, that of contemporary revival. In all languages, we accept either the worst atrocity or the most unacceptable backsliding. In all languages today, we accept challenging the independence of justice, the worst violations of women's rights, the worst backsliding of international order, order that was gradually built by our predecessors. There must be this uprising in this language that is strong of so many other languages, that has established itself across all continents, a language that is not going to repeat words that have become sometimes empty, but will be as it has always been, refusal of what is happening, of a common ambition of a conquest or a reconquest, because that is what Francophonie is, and that is what unites us. There are 84 nations in our Francophonie, from north to south, across all seas, and amongst these 84 nations, there isn't just one nation or a few nations that would dictate principles from above. We have sometimes done it too often, not one nation stating the truth of our principles, our democracy. We uphold it, and I'm looking at myself first and foremost in speaking before you, that France would have the prime truth. No, it's so true that those who wanted to forge francophonie are the first great African leaders who wanted to reconquer, reinvent this space of value and language. Well, it's ours and its future is here, not with you. You sometimes imposed it on us. It's our common history, our share of wounds, but we will bear our share. We will bear that requirement. That is the wonderful strength and vitality of francophonie. It's a conversion of gaze and language. It's not a lesson given by some to others. It's all. It's the exact opposite. It's reconquering a language, the prime values by a few who said, well, they are even stronger with us. So I say this to you with great humility. I'm in a continent that is seeing so many setbacks, the rise of sad passions, of hatred. No one has any lessons to give to everyone, but we all have this contemporary requirement to uphold the ambition that our founding fathers wished for us, that of a language that has nothing to abandon, quite the contrary, that is being reinvented, that of youth. It's the strength of francophonie, that of a democratic requirement to values, not because we would drag it along with words that are only spoken in summits that our people would no longer believe in. No, a vital, vibrant requirement, because these values have been carried in the streets by conquerors of all countries, because all revolutions, whatever their name, of independence, democratic transformation, advent of people in our languages, are revolutions first and foremost of freedom and requirement. It's on that basis that today we must consider our francophonie. Our summit today cannot be a summit like the others when we see the way of the world. It's not possible. We cannot give the sense that we would just speak agreed words, because they have always been spoken. It's what we owe to our great elders. Francophonie will soon be celebrating its 50 years, and I'd like to pay tribute to the former secretary generals of our organization, Mr. Boutros-Ghali and Abu Diouf, and of course to spare a thought for President Senghor and all those who accompanied this great adventure, their commitment, their vision still today for those who are with us, inspires us and goes with us. And on the eve of our 50th anniversary, as of today and before the Tunis summit, our ambition, our requirement needs to be like that history, to reinvent our francophonie. My prime belief is that francophonie must reconquer the youth, must become once again a fully fledged project for the future. Organization must turn first and foremost to the youth. We were sometimes criticized for being too institutional. It's often unfair, but not always unfounded. Our organization must forge closer ties with our people, turn to it, demonstrate to it what it can bring. The population of the francophone area is young. Let us not forget that, to offer it a future through education, vocational training, jobs, work in the community. Culture is our number one challenge. The biggest struggle going forward is the youth, and in particular African youth. The African continent is reinventing itself. Some would wish to establish it in the imagination, the quarrels and fractures of yesterday, but this continent is one of the youngest today. Its youth is an extraordinary opportunity, and Francophonie has a fight to wage to deploy our languages, but also the struggle for our values in Africa, upheld bravely by the heads of state and government sat at our side. The fight against obscurantism, the fight against forced marriage, the fight against oppression against women and young women, the fight for our values and ambition will be carried forward by Francophonie in all these areas at your side. It needs to be a symbol of the future and reconquest. Francophonie must allow young Francophones to have good schools, better libraries, excellent technology, open to new universities, allow young scholars to publish their work. The number one struggle to have all young children and particularly young girls in school. France will be at your side in this family of Francophonie. As you know, I've profoundly recommitted France's development policy in this direction. It is a struggle that we're all waging against obscurantism and this common destiny. Francophonie must give itself a strong mandate in favor of our language and multilingualism. French language and its dissemination are at the heart of our organization. When I say the French language, I'm referring to our French languages. Its epicenters, I've often said, is neither the left or right bank of the Seine. It's no doubt in the basin of the Congo River or somewhere in the region. Our prime duty is to change the scale in the support we give to teaching, transforming the language, and the ambition that must we carry forward. Francophonie will number over 700 million speakers in the middle of the century, and if we work together far more, and Francophonie will be a strength in the world, we must use all tools available. Our organization must concern itself with the place of French outside the Francophone world, must promote at UNESCO the teaching of two mandatory languages which will favor best or reconquest for unity across our national challenge. We must work to ensure that we can do even more for the promotion of French, to do make it even more the language of exchange. OIF must promote French more effectively in centers of international life where the global language status is forged, at the UN, within regional organizations such as the EU or the African Union. We must be able to interact, propose initiatives in our language, make it a language that is even stronger in trade, in business, in diplomacy. Next, what characterizes us is that we are a language, we are the language of creation. Truth that is opening, we used itself like other languages as a language of interaction, but English has become a language of usage, I would say, of consumption. Our language of French is equally so, and we must do even more, but it is a language of creation. We are the geographic area of values of the imagination, where the author, the originator, is the most important thing. Or when we exchange something, a content, an idea, we're not exchanging a good like any other. We're exchanging what someone at one point created or did. The word authority in our language refers to that. The authority comes from the author, from the originator. There's nothing finer than, stronger than, to create, impose a word, a poem, an idea, a reality. What brings us together is that in our countries, people have died for words or ideas. There's nothing stronger. So to fight to ensure that our language is stronger today means fighting to ensure that the author is stronger, is at the heart of this struggle. It's therefore to fight so that in this new space that is internet, francophonie is present. I'd like to pay tribute to the struggle and the great priority of our Canadian and Quebec colleagues who have many ideas and have waged many fights on the internet. Bravo, and we will follow you. We will support you. I would like us to look at the ambitious Canadian project as of TV 5 Monde to build the digital francophone platform. We must fight to defend our language on the net. We must fight to develop, to defend everywhere copyright on internet and in the contemporary modes of communication, because it means fighting for those who create these ideas, who fight to defend them, who sometimes fallen in their name. Francophonie could thereby address this essential struggle, which is that of authors and pathways between languages. In this respect, I plead in favor of organizing a congress of French language writers, as our Spanish-speaking friends do. However surprising that to put the authors center stage. Our Minister of Culture is particularly attached to that. She's devoted her life to publishing. The personal representative, Leila Slimani, had this will, this idea, and will carry forward this fine project to your side. The fight for authors, for ideas, is the finest there is. Let's invest it. Let's not make contemporary languages just spaces of uses of consumption. They are spaces of creation, of reinvention. And that's why I believe that this fundamental struggle for our language is a struggle for multilingualism. It's not a matter of just becoming more inward-looking in a language. And our African French know this. They live in plurilingualism to recognize the share of exchange of translation through with French. Francophonie could address the world of French as a world language and support works such as the Dictionary of Francophones. I'd like us to champion that, multiply initiatives, and France has already begun, and we've put funding in place to multiply dictionaries between the various languages in the francophone area. And French, there's no established dictionary between Wolof and French. Let's develop it. These languages are languages of exchange, and is the case for so many other languages from the Pacific, Africa, Latin America, as well as North America. I would also be pleased if Francophonie could support the initiative I've taken to renovate the Chateau Villers-Cotterêts. We're here at Yerevan. I'm speaking of a town that is close to my heart in the area where I was born. We owe a lot to this place, and I'll explain why. For at least two reasons, it's the place where the order of François Ier was signed, where it was decided that French, amongst many other languages, would be the language used for administrative orders and texts in France, and began to make French the official language. The second reason, it's the town where Alexandre Dumas is born, and inspired many continents. And in this place of the Chateau Villers-Cotterêts, I'd like us to make it one of the places of francophonie, a space to discover francophone cultures, a place where all francophones of the world will be able to come and study, transform, and contribute to our common imagination, because we are a space of plurilingualism. We are a space of common understanding. So over and above this fight for the language, and it's the point on which I would like to end, francophonie is this open place of excellence where we can reinvent the struggle for universal commons and the reinvention of multilateralism. For these two reasons that I've just mentioned, because France has become a world language and French is a language of translation and exchange, it doesn't exist if it's reduced to a continent, doesn't exist if it refuses translation, it doesn't crush others but is nurtured by others, only exists in a space of translation, can only live, progress, develop if we understand that it is the language and we are the common space of this shared and respectful understanding of the world without hegemony and mutual respect. If we understand that we are therefore the locus of a contemporary reinvention of a humanism that rethinks the new balances. That was francophonie, must be a language of universal, of translation, of author, of exchange. That's why la francophonie has the duty to defend these universal commons at the heart of our space. First and foremost, the environment. Let's make this a common fight. There are only countries here that are fighting, whatever the resistance, for the environment, against global warming. Let's work together for a global pact on the environment. Let's work together for new breakthroughs and new, yield nothing to contemporary skepticism that is gaining ground. Human rights among our global commons, protection against the most serious crimes. There again, let's work together to change the rules of our organizations that have sometimes become obsolete. Let's defend together the fact that the right of veto at the UN Security Council must be framed. Let's ban its use when such crimes are perpetrated. We can no longer accept that certain powers block the condemnation of the international community. It's down to francophonie to champion those struggles, to end paralysis, irresponsibility, cynicism. Francophonie must be this place that fights for women's rights. And here I'd like to commend the work done by Michael Jean. I'd like to pay tribute to who rallied strongly in favor of this struggle. Francophonie must be feminist. And you were right, Madam Secretary General, to yield nothing in this fight. Francophonie must be feminist. The future of Africa will be feminist, as in Europe and elsewhere. And I wish here to underscore the courage of President Essebsi, who, as we're seeing the rise of obscurantism, those who seek to lock a whole continent in a distorted reading of a religion, rose up and with courage these past few weeks adopted texts for the fundamental rights of women, the rights of heritage, of marriage. All the obscurantists were afraid. He did it, and we must support him in that fight, and we'll be at your side. Yield nothing in that fight. You come from a country where independence was forged by a great president who educated women and men, young girls and boys. You come from a country that was an example in Francophonie and in the conquest of Africa. You come from a country that makes us proud and made us proud, and so we will continue to be present in this fight for women rights. I'll ask the Advisory Council on Gender Equality, set up by our Canadian friends in G7, to continue it in this forum under the French presidency. Those are some of the struggles and solidarities that we must bear together, these contemporary struggles where Francophonie has meaning. It's not just a club, a tired space. No, it's a place of reconquest, of profound struggle and solidarity that binds us. That binds us, I believe, in our common identity. I said that it is made of wounds, sometimes divisions. But there's something greater that binds us together, this ambition for the world and this language. And that's why I also support the proposal to share the best practices, public policies in all areas in the Francophone area. It's true that our community is rich in unparalleled diversity. We must draw greater benefit from it. Rwanda is a model of political parity. Armenia has a very interesting experience in digital education that it exports to France. Each of us have experiences to share, to progress together. And that is why, to carry forward all these fights, we must set as an objective to revise the Francophonie Charter. Collective effort could be launched by the OIF under the Armenian presidency to adapt our social pact to the new challenges of the 21st century by addressing or readdressing important questions. What is the right scope of Francophonie to join our Francophone family? Do we just have to take a few commitments in terms of French language or human rights, or do we have to demonstrate concrete achievements? Should we not be more exacting with ourselves and not seek to go always further, but to consolidate the 84 nations that make us up, the ambitions and struggles that I mentioned? Should we not go back on the rigidity of our strategies and policies that are adopted for 4, sometimes 8 years? And there too we could probably found, as suggested by Mr. Krabal, give greater visibility, greater influence to our parliaments, to our civil societies. Those are just a few areas, but I believe that collectively it would be to our benefit to carry that forward. Dear friends, a fortnight ago we were with Charles Aznavour in Paris. He was about to leave for a concert in Tokyo, and he was speaking of the today in Yerevan. It says everything about this collective adventure that is ours. The son of immigrants was without heritage, without relations, had studied little. His first language was Armenian, second Georgian. There is not a single French person who doesn't cite him as one of the contemporary poets. That is Francophonie, that is French. It is not given as a legacy forever. It is learnt, it is translated, but first and of all, it is conquered through desire. Camus said, my country is the French language. Our country is the French language. It is a country that doesn't necessarily have contours. It's an infinite country made of exacting standards of struggles dearly achieved. That is, my friends, that I wish to share with you. We have so much in Francophonie is not a space of tired men and women of a convened place. It's a land of invention, of conquest, of men and women who are always the immigrants of others, those rejected by others, the language of all asylums, that of all struggles, the place of all dignities. It is our language, and it is therefore today our responsibility.
Phones, people who speak French, but also as having some greater ambition. That is, as being a sort of almost spiritual community that is gathered together to promote human rights, peace, democracy. We heard Emmanuel Macron speak today, also speaking of La Francophonie as being a feminist. It must be a feminist organization as well. There's almost hardwired into the ambitions or the self-proclaimed identity of La Francophonie that by virtue of getting together these French speakers, there's also something innate about being a Francophone that makes you somehow uniquely qualified to also promote human rights around the world.